Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to John, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 5. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I have a lengthier reading of Scripture tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and have you be seated. While I do have a lengthier Scripture tonight, I promise to be mindful of your time. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please forgive my voice. I've been sick the last few days, but we're going to get through it together and it's going to be all right. Amen. I'm thankful this evening that we serve a God who is a God of grace, and He is a God of mercy. He's a God of gentleness, and He is a God of kindness, a God whose desire is to come to the people that He created and give them an opportunity to repent of their sins and be saved. I'm thankful that we serve a God who was so powerful that the moon and the sun and the stars and all the solar systems and the galaxies and the beauty and splendor and grandeur of this world came from just merely His spoken word. That we serve a God who knew us before we were in our mother's wombs. A God who showed the ultimate act of love and sacrifice by coming to this earth and living as a man, being tempted at all points just as we are, yet He never sinned. He was falsely accused, wrongly convicted, and sentenced to death for the sins that we committed. That God, as He hung on a cross with crowds screaming and cursing and shouting and spitting on Him, with nails in His hands and His feet, mustered enough strength from His broken body to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And I'm thankful tonight that we serve that God, a saving God, a merciful and gracious God. I'm thankful tonight that we know His name, because Jesus is the most beautiful name that I know. He is a Redeemer. Amen. I promise we're going to get to the text here in just a moment. But it was a scorchingly hot day in the Samaritan countryside. Jesus had been preaching, and at this point in His ministry, He has seen more people baptized than John. And the Pharisees were not pleased with the results of Jesus' ministry in Judea. And so, knowing this, Jesus made the decision to get up from that place and journey back to Galilee, some 70 miles between the two cities. So we see this narrative take place in John chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. It says, "Eventually, He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well at about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because His disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?' And Jesus replied, 'If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope and you don't have a bucket.'" She was saying, "You're pretty unprepared if you want a drink. This is a well after all, and you need tools to draw the water." She said, "This well is very deep, but where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with now. You certainly have spoken the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here in Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, saying, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, and it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, and that when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, and I want you to pay attention to this statement, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." This woman had made an absolute mess of her life. Broken relationship after broken relationship. Her reputation was destroyed. She was a social leper, an outcast. She was less than, and she was repugnant. She was disgusting and dirty and scandalous. Nobody wanted anything to do with the Samaritan woman. Notice what verses 6 and 7 say. "Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water." The normal custom of the day is that the women would get up early in the morning before the heat of the day began, and they would make the journey to the well in the village, and they would draw in the cool of the day. But not the Samaritan woman. No, they would not allow her to do that. Despised and rejected. They got to come in the morning, went Sister Swalls, when the sun was still low, but she had to come in the hot of the day. But little did she know that that day was going to be different. That day was going to be the day that her life was changed, because this was going to be no ordinary journey to the well, because Jesus was waiting for her. And I wonder how many times in our own lives do we find ourselves in this situation. We may not have burned through 5 marriages. We may not be a complete social outcast. But how many times have we made mistakes that reflect poorly on our reputation or on our Christian character? Mistakes that we knew were wrong, yet we did it anyway. How many times have we placed ourselves in a position to feel like we have destroyed any chance of goodness or purpose or hope that remains in our life? I've been there. You've been there. We have all been there. We've all done things that are not right. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all made mistakes, and we have all broken his heart. We have all sinned. It is a part of this nature of this human man. But I am so glad to know tonight that when I make a complete mess of my life, Jesus stands ready to pick up all of those broken pieces and put it back together once again, not because I'm worth it, not because I deserve it, but because he loves me so much that he wants that in my life. He stands ready to cleanse me. Why? Because that is who He is. He is a redemptive God. He is a God who cares about His creation. He's a God that desires a relationship with you. And I've come to tell somebody on this Wednesday night that it does not matter how much you have messed up in your life. It doesn't matter how many times you have fallen short. It doesn't matter what you did 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago, or even 2 hours ago. We serve a God that stands ready to redeem you, who stands ready to forgive you, who wants to wash you clean from the sins that are plaguing your life. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. He's not some unmoved mover that just spoke this earth into creation and spoke this group of people into creation and said, okay, I did my part, now you're on your own. He is a personal Savior who, with no obligation, made the conscious decision to step out of eternity and into time. He made the conscious decision to put on flesh and live as a man, just like we live as a man. And He was tempted at all points, just as we're tempted at all points, yet He never sinned. He came to be the living sacrifice that would atone for the sins that we commit. And I want you to know tonight that whatever you have done, whatever decisions you have made, He's already ready to redeem you. All it takes is one moment. One moment of acknowledgement. One moment of making a conscious decision to turn away and change your direction. One moment. The Samaritan woman was lost. She was a sinner. She had destroyed her life. But Jesus looked at her and said, whoever drinks from the water that I give will never thirst again. You drink at this well, you're going to thirst again. But if you take of the water that I am offering, you will never thirst again. And so perhaps for the first time, Brother Shannon, in her life, somebody showed her true kindness. Kindness that didn't have a motive behind it, but a true, genuine, compassionate type of kindness. She knew she was wrong. She knew that her life was a wreck. She knew that she was sentenced to live a life void of any true connection or purpose or hope or dream. She knew that it was over for her until Jesus. And so we see, after this conversation with Him, the woman drops her water pot and runs to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything that I have ever done. There was no part of her life. There was no mistake that she made that He didn't know about. And I want to tell you tonight, there is no part of our lives. There's no mistake that we've made. There's no choice or decision that we've made that He does not already know about. He could have done what everybody else did. He could have turned away from her. He could have rejected her. He could have eviscerated her and destroyed her character with His words, but He didn't. Instead, He sat with her. He spoke kindness to her, and He offered her salvation. Friend, He already knows. We get into these places in our lives where we think we're really good at hiding stuff, and we think we're really good at putting camouflage on the things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and we think we've got Him fooled. We think we've got everybody else around us fooled. But I want to tell you, the only person that's fooled is you, because He already knows. You might say, well, Landon, I understand what you're saying, but you don't quite understand what I've done. You don't know the mess of my life that I've made. You don't know the decisions that I've made that have destroyed everything that I've built, destroyed my marriage, destroyed my job, destroyed my finances. You don't know about my dreams that are shattered on the ground. Maybe you're right. Maybe I don't know, but He knows. And I've been sent with an assignment for somebody on a Wednesday night to let you know that there is no sin that is too great for him to redeem. That there is no person under the sound of my voice that has strayed so far away that the hand of God cannot reach you where you're at and completely redeem you and wash you and set you free from the sins that have bound you. I want to tell somebody tonight that God still has a plan for your life, that there is still divine purpose and destiny on you, that God has not left you. He will not abandon you. He has not forsaken you, but God stands ready to redeem you. If you believe that, say amen tonight. I understand that there are consequences for our actions. It's kind of the whole thing about the career that I'm in. I literally work in the consequence business. But I also understand in the Christian walk that there is grace. And there's mercy, and there is forgiveness ready for anybody who will come to him. But it's not only for you. It's for all of those who are going to walk through the back doors of this church. I believe that God is positioning this church intentionally to be a place where broken lives are mended, where the hurting are healed, and where the lost are found. I believe that God has divine destiny and purpose for this church, and I believe that each and every one of you are a part of making that happen. Because Jesus does not just use those whose lives are perfect and people who have never made a mistake. No, if that were the case, there wouldn't be anybody able to be used. But Jesus takes broken things and makes them whole. He takes broken people and makes them whole. I told you I wasn't going to be long tonight as the musicians come. Saul was a persecutor. He was a murderer. But in one moment, God saved him. And no longer was he Saul, the persecutor, but he was Paul, the preacher. The woman caught in the act of adultery, she made a horrible decision. She was caught, as Scripture says, in the very act. She was had dead to rights by the law. The mob stood ready to stone her. The Pharisees, they stood there and they admonished Jesus to condemn her to death because of her actions. After all, she was guilty. There was no innocence here. This case was opened and closed. It was a slam dunk case. But Jesus said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And what happened? Every single person in that crowd dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus looked on this woman, caught in her shame, stripped naked before a crowd, humiliated and embarrassed. And he said, "Woman, look at me. Now look around. Where are thou thine accusers?" And she said, "There's none, Lord." And he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Israel was the very chosen people of God. They were the ones that he brought out of slavery and into the promised land. The ones that he had placed his name on. Yet time and time again, what did they do? They rejected him. They worshiped idols. They complained. They murmured. But God said in Isaiah chapter 43, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you won't be burned up. The flames, they might get high, but they're not going to consume you. For I am the Lord, your God,
the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave to Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You're honored, and I love you. They didn't deserve it. They'd walked away so many times. It's kind of like this truck that I used to have. And I know this is a little weird segue, but it'll make sense. It's like this truck that I bought. I was like maybe 19 years old at the time. It was a 1996 Ford F-150 Eddie Bauer edition. Brother Shannon knows what I'm talking about. The owner had been using this truck as something to lean drywall on and hold boxes. And when I tell you that this truck was a fixer-upper, it was probably more like a don't fixer-upper. But it had potential. So I gave the guy the money and I signed the paperwork, and this wonderful heap of nothingness was now mine. And when I bought it, you've got to understand that it had been sitting in this guy's garage for years. Not like 3 or 4 months, I mean literal years. It was on jack stands. It was torn to pieces. The bed of the truck was in a barn like 30 miles away. The axles were ripped off. The battery was shot. The drive shaft was disconnected. But that was because there was actually nothing to connect it to. The brakes were bad. The oil was old. The transmission fluid was yucky. The brake fluid, well, it didn't have any of that. This thing was caked in who knows how many years of dust and other kinds of animal droppings. Half the frame was painted and it was sanded. The other half, not so much. It looked a lot, whole lot like the guys from Rusty's, if you've ever seen the Cars movie. It would have been a really, really great promo car for that, I'm just telling you. The brake lines were blown. It didn't have exhaust pipes. No gas tank. All the bolts I needed disappeared somewhere along the way. The gasket rings destroyed. Honestly, this thing was a piece of junk, but it was my piece of junk. And I loved that truck. So for months, I worked and I worked and I worked, and then I worked some more. I was ordering parts, I was getting things painted, I was deep cleaning it. And again, I worked and I worked. Many late nights were spent with that truck. And finally, we got to the point where it was ready to be turned on and driven for the first time in years. After a few frustrating minutes, the engine finally turned over and fired up. And I'm never gonna forget that moment of watching that exhaust come out, that brand new Borla exhaust system that I put on it, and hearing that smooth purr of that Ford engine. Now all that was left to do was to put the bed on the truck, and it was good to go. And that was a whole nother story that we don't have time for, but my truck was finally finished. And it came to the glorious moment where I was finally going to be able to drive it for the first time. So I had the country music turned all the way up, because everybody knows if you're driving an old pickup truck, you got to listen to some country music. It's a rule. It was a beautiful fall afternoon in Ohio. Everything was going according to plan. Nothing was acting weird. The truck wasn't running funny. Everything was smooth. It was staying cool. Nothing could go wrong. I was cruising down the road, high on 90 style, until I went to shift that truck into fifth gear and the shifter knob popped off. And then I sold that truck the next week. I'm just kidding. Nobody else saw potential in that old, nasty, torn apart, not working, ugly, dirty eyesore of a truck. But I did. I saw what it was, but I saw what it could be. No one else saw your potential. No one else saw your heart. No one else saw your hopes and your dreams. No one else saw your abilities and your talents. But he did. And I've come to tell someone tonight that as long as he sees, And he does see every single time. It doesn't matter what anybody else does or does not see. Thank God for the finished work, the cross. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for redemption. As we stand all across this place tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.